Pray with me. Dear Lord, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we do pray, O come Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. We desire your presence with us. And what we celebrate tomorrow night will be the fulfillment of that promise where you did bring your son, your baby son, to be born. And you allowed that son to move from cradle to cross so that all of the injustices of this world might be reconciled through you, and that you might open up our hearts to repentance so that we might receive you, even as they cradled the Christ child in Bethlehem. So we ask that we might cradle you in our hearts, that you would come and enter in this day, that we might truly experience that peace that propels us to justice and truly experience your presence. In your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to be seated. We're going to hear these words from Scripture today. The passage from Scripture for this fourth Sunday of Advent seems out of place. It is intended in our liturgical year to be right in this place to remind us what we celebrate tomorrow and why we celebrate what we celebrate tomorrow. So the words that we hear today are from Luke chapter 3. Tomorrow night we hear from, tomorrow afternoon and all day tomorrow we hear from Luke chapter 2, the birth of the Christ child. But what happened right afterwards, Luke 3, is that the gospel records John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, who was called by God to be a prophet. He was called by God to pave the pathway for the Savior and to indicate the purpose of the Savior. So listen to these words as John speaks words of truth that are propelling the people of his day and ours toward hearts that are seeking justice. Listen to this passage. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these very stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with the one who has none, and the one who has food should do the same thing." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers came and asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one far more powerful than I is coming, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barns, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. Powerful passage of Scripture. Not exactly what I wanted to preach today, the day before Christmas Eve. How many of you came to church today hoping that you'd be called a brood of vipers? Anybody want to raise your hand on that one? Oh, that's right. That's right. John wasn't really talking about us, was he? No, I'm sure he must have had some other people in mind, people of his day that maybe behaved in a particular way, but not us. So today I'm going to lead us through a time of contemplating what it is that John had to say, maybe to us. And then at the end, we're going to look at a video. And I want us to consider together what God's word through John the Baptist and what this video we're going to look at might be inviting us to consider. And so I want to engage us in some time of conversation at the end. So I got to tell you, what I really wanted to talk about today was not this brood of vipers and repentance stuff. What I really wanted to talk about today was gifts from the heart. Because you have all been so incredibly generous. I wanted to thank you for all of those gifts that were brought for Angel Tree. I want to thank you for what a difference that has made in the lives of those children who happen to have a parent who's incarcerated. Because it's real possible, and we know, because our Angel Tree ministry team knows the situations, that some of those kids have parents that couldn't afford presents. And so they're getting presents because of your generosity. And record numbers from Good Shepherd this year, so thank you. Incredible generosity. You're making a difference in the lives of children in this area that are being cared for through those gifts. And what I really wanted to talk about today was a word of thanks for all that you did for Operation Christmas Child, because those gifts go to children around the world who truly would not have gotten any gifts. They don't have parents. In many cases, they don't have parents. In many other cases, they don't have parents that can afford anything like what they're getting. So those simple gifts go a long way in sharing in a tangible way the love of God, because the love of God is delivered with every present. So thank you for making a difference. That's a justice kind of thing. It really is. And what I really wanted to talk today about was thank you for all those gifts that you gave for those Christmas tree ornaments. The money goes to Feed My Starving Children, because those monies help kids who otherwise wouldn't see their next Christmas. They go not just to hungry children, they go to starving children, children that wouldn't have enough food to make it till next Christmas. So thank you for your generosity. Patricia tells me that the sales have been brisk. Great response. And I know that warms Tom Duffy's heart, because he works so intimately with Feed My Starving Children. It makes a difference. So thank you for your response. And what I wanted to talk about was thank you for all of those of you who brought mittens and scarves and stuff for the Mitten Tree, because those go to local children in areas of our greater community where the kids, believe it or not, have parents who can't afford those things. And so thanks for caring for our children locally as well as globally. And what I wanted to talk about was thanks for all those who purchased dream catchers and gave gift cards for the children of Pine Ridge. Because when our mission team goes to Pine Ridge, that is the second most impoverished place behind only the country of Haiti in the whole Northern Hemisphere. And so not only would those kids not get Christmas presents or things that make Christmas brighter, but they're getting basic foodstuffs. And right now we had a prayer in the early service because, and it's kind of a justice issue, it really is. They live in a place in our country where they were located and where their homes are such that they will probably be very, very cold this winter. So thanks for what you did to help make their winter more tolerable and their season more joyful. You made a difference. I want to thank you for those who brought canes for our Honduras ministry, because we serve people in Honduras and we care for children in Honduras. Children that aren't, in many situations, don't have parents, but the canes are for the elderly and the elderly who have mobility issues and are using broomsticks and branches from trees. And so this, as our medical team goes, they can be giving those. So thanks for your generosity. You truly have made a big difference. That's what I wanted to talk about today. I wanted to thank you because God has used you. And isn't that what John the Baptist was talking about when in this message he talked about the one with two tunics should give to the one who has none, and the one who has food should give to those who don't have any. Isn't that what he's talking about? That's part of his message. It is. And so I want to thank you for all that you did to help make a difference. But rather than that brood of viper stuff, that part of his message, what I really wanted to do today was show you pictures of our newest grandson. And his name is Andy, and he was born a week and a half ago. And I thought that would be appropriate because, you know, it's the season when we're celebrating the birth of the Christ child, and now this is new birth, and it made it up close and personal, and those of us who are grandparents know how fun that is. So I wanted to show you that. Now, I'm shameless when it comes to showing pictures of my kids, so my grandchildren. So I thought I'd just go ahead and show you a picture of Remy and Safira at the same time. So Remy has figured out that although his little sister Safira has got some stranger danger stuff going on there, he's figured out it's okay to be friends with Santa. In fact, it's lucrative. So he's working it and having a really good time. At a time of the year when we're primed, truly primed to celebrate these kinds of things, gifts from the heart and new birth, and we're primed to celebrate and hear the Luke 2 story. That's what we want to celebrate. We need to remember the Luke 3 story, the John the Baptist message, why God sent Jesus in the first place, why the message of Luke 2 is so important to understanding the message of Luke 3. And it's important that we understand that in the message of Luke chapter 3, John is addressing his world and ours. He's addressing the sin in both those places, in both those times. And he's reminding us that his message is from God for all time. I don't know about you, but I don't really want to wait much longer to sing those Christmas carols. Why do we have to wait? You know, why can't we just sing them now? I like them so much. Is it really worth the wait? Aren't we ready? Don't we feel ready? Or is there some purpose to our waiting? You know, the people back in the time just before Jesus was born waited 400 years from the last prophecy in the Old Testament to the birth of Jesus, 400 years. It makes our 4 weeks of waiting pale in comparison. It does. Was there some purpose why God wanted the people of his day, way back when, to wait? Is there some purpose why God wants us also to mirror that waiting? Is there something that God wants to accomplish? Is that why he sends John the Baptist to give us a clue about the importance of the wait? For all those people who went out into the wilderness to sing Christmas carols, Jesus was already born, right? They could sing Christmas carols, right? The message of John is wait, wait. And what John is saying to them is, have you checked your heart out lately? Have you checked your spiritual heart out lately? At the moment when John is about ready to dunk them into the river to be baptized, what he's doing is he's saying, take a look at your reflection in the water. Do you see a person there in need of forgiveness? Do you see a person there in need of a Savior? That's what he's saying to those people. Do you see? So tomorrow night, we're going to sing a song. It's one of my favorite Christmas carols, O Little Town of Bethlehem. I can hardly wait. It's going to be good. But you know, there's a verse in that song, verse 4, that connects us to the message of John the Baptist. In verse 4, it says, cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Is that what John was talking about? Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today? Isn't that what John was saying when he says to those people who came out to be baptized, produce fruit in keeping with repentance, cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today? This fourth Sunday of Advent is designed in our liturgical calendar to be a liturgical look in the mirror Sunday to prepare us for what we celebrate tomorrow. Just as John wanted the people to look at their reflection in the water before they were baptized and to think about whether they needed a Savior, so week four of Advent gives us opportunity to remember why he came in the first place, why we need our sins forgiven, why we need a Savior. In reflecting prophetically upon what he saw, John says, you know, I see a little bit of self-righteousness going on here. Some of you are thinking to yourselves, I'm a descendant of Abraham. I don't need this. He says, God can raise up from these stones descendants, children of Abraham. No, what you need is a heart that produces fruit of repentance, demonstrates your need for the Savior. That's what you need. That's what you need. And so, in the midst of those moments when we depend upon our ancestry or our privilege or our position in life, in the midst of that, John the Baptist comes with that wonderful word, that Hebrew word, to debunk all of that, the word baloney. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. So that's why we wait. That's why Advent's so important. To give us pause, to give us a moment to reflect upon our need for a Savior. And why what we celebrate on Christmas Eve is so important. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. I have to confess, it's not exactly what you probably came to hear, that brood of viper stuff. It's not what I wanted to preach today. But it is the message of John the Baptist to open up our hearts, to open up our hearts to the truth of the gospel that leads to the justice that God desires on earth, that ultimately leads to peace. For where there is no truth, there is no justice, there is no peace, there is no silent night. The message of Advent and Christmas all the way to Easter and beyond is this: truth and justice that propels us to repentance and allows us peace. For where there is no justice, there can be no godly peace. And that's why how we handle the refugee crises is important. That's why how we respond to the caravan is important. That's why how we respond to the prescription drug crisis epidemic here in Naperville is important. They're justice issues. I don't know if you know this or not, but in the city of Naperville, every major crime statistic went down last year. That's good news. It's great news, except one thing, and that is the abuse of prescription drugs and all of the resulting behaviors because of it, all the consequences. Prescription drugs misuse and overuse is epidemic in Naperville, according to our own police department, our own court records. But our community is responding to that. In fact, our churches are responding to that. We recognize that in our community, there are people really struggling with this, and it's causing behavioral problems that are really matters of life and death. And so as you leave today, we have some cards that give us some options on how we can respond, what we can do, how we can become more aware to this truth that exists in our community, and what God might enable us to do to help resolve that so that that statistic also goes down next year at this time, along with all the other issues that are successfully being worked upon. So it's a justice issue that we want to bring to your attention. Dietrich Bonhoeffer had a few things to say about this. He's a great Lutheran scholar. And he said this. In fact, he gave up his life speaking the truth, seeking justice. He said this, "The order of peace is the reality of the gospel, of the kingdom of God. And truth and justice can never go contrary to it." He also went on to say, "Peace cannot exist without the ability to tell the truth and practice justice. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace." The people were waiting expectantly and they were wondering, John the Baptist tells us. You see, John the Baptist was pointing to the one who was going to fulfill the prophet Isaiah's prophecy. "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today." When we receive the Lord with repentant hearts, as John the Baptist is encouraging the people of his day and ours, God then truly gives us the strength to face the truth, to seek justice, to experience peace, to give generously, and to sing the Christmas carols with joy in our hearts. For then we submit to the one and the one alone who is our salvation. For then God truly casts out our sin and enters in and is born in us today. I'm going to pray for us in preparation for this video that we're going to look at, and then we're going to just have a brief conversation. Gracious Lord, on this cusp of our New Year, or rather our Christmas Eve celebration, create new hearts within us. Cast out our sin. Enter in. Allow us to face the truth, to seek justice, and to experience your peace. Peace that comes when you cast out our sin and enter in. Amen. Let's watch this video together.
For it TV, the world is thinking.
Over the past 7 years, I've worked with UNHCR and I've traveled around the world to try to bring attention to refugees and internally displaced persons. And it's been a remarkable education. On my last trip to Chad, I asked a group of refugees, what do they need? What are their concerns? And one woman said, better access to water. Another said, medicine. Another, better tents. And this young boy raised his hand and he said, we need a trial. And he'd heard that morning on BBC radio that the ICC had issued arrest warrants. And it meant something to him. He was asking for what any of us would ask for, having been violated, having had many horrific things happen to his family. And yet in my heart, I knew that he may never see that trial. That justice often seems like a luxury for the rich and wealthy nations. In far too many places I've been, I've seen refugees return to live among the same people that attacked them. Peace is placed before justice, often instead of justice, and often at the insistence of the perpetrator. And this is happening today with Joseph Kony in Uganda and with President Bashir in Sudan. They are threatening more violence and delaying or blocking aid if we attempt to bring them to justice. And often we listen to them. We let them dictate what will happen. We let those who destroyed their countries decide the future for their countries. And I believe, after finding myself returning to countries who, after a brief period of peace, are again at war, that there is no enduring peace without justice. I've seen refugees whose rations were cut nearly in half, and I've seen them waiting for the aid truck to arrive, just to find out that the aid relief was stolen by the rebels who are still active. And I've talked with little kids who had bruises, and they showed them to me, and they said somebody came and they gave us new school supplies. But the bad guys took them away. Because the bad guys were still there. And I've sat in a tent with women who were about to be returned to their homeland. Women whose daughters were raped and husbands were killed, and many of their sons also killed or tortured. And I've heard them ask, how is it safe to go back? And I've watched aid workers struggle to explain that some things have been signed, some people have shaken hands. But what they don't say is that aid in their host country has run out because the international community wants to see returns and wants to see progress, but that really nothing has changed to ensure their safety, that they are returning to the same lawlessness that sent them running in the first place. And I've seen these same aid workers tear up when they put these ladies on the buses and say, I don't know what we're sending them back to. Common sense tells us that when the risks are weighed, the decisions are made very differently. When crimes against humanity are punished consistently and severely, the killer's calculus will change. And when a killer is allowed to walk away from his crimes, I believe that also tells him something. It sends a message to the next that they need not worry, that they will most likely not be held accountable for their actions. I believe that the existence of trials alone has the potential to change behavior. But ultimately, we need to arrest those who are indicted. And the Sudanese arrest of Ali Kusheb appears to be a positive development, but not if it becomes a bargaining chip that will stop others from being brought to justice. Without an arrest, we tell the victims of these atrocities that impunity is the rule of law. Now, I don't know if the ICC is the answer, and I don't know what type of court is or what it would need to be for all of us to agree and make it strong enough. I have no idea. And after 7 years of traveling into the field, I find that I have a lot I need to learn. But I do know this. No mother who had her children killed in front of her, no young girl sold into slavery, no boy kidnapped and forced to be a child soldier, and no young girl like the three-year-old I met in Sierra Leone who had her limbs cut off should be expected to simply forget. No one should have to choose between peace or justice. And that young boy in Darfur who asked for a trial deserves one. So thank you very much for letting me speak. I will pass the time to you.
So we don't come with answers to complex problems like that, but we do come, we think, with open hearts to what John the Baptist might say to these situations today. We do come as believers in Jesus Christ, who we believe we want to cast out our sin and enter in, so that we might truly be the kind of followers of Christ who seek justice and know the truth that God does bring into our world. I do believe that God brings that to us in our collective, what we call the body of Christ. And so we have a microphone today, and it's going to be available. And so Susan's got it. And any thoughts, any responses to what you saw or the words of John the Baptist, any thoughts that God has put in your heart today that you care to share? Anybody have a thought? It maybe raises more questions than it does provide answers. But any responses to that? I know, Pat, when you work in Honduras on the board of WGO, a lot of the work you do is working with injustice. Parents who are abandoning children. A system that's corrupt in the government. Lots of injustice. When we send teams to Honduras and Guatemala and to Africa and Pine Ridge, it's our hope that it might be a way of working in such a way that it can impact and provide justice, even as we provide the word and the love of Jesus Christ. Any thoughts about what we saw on the screen or heard from Scripture today? Any thoughts God is speaking into your hearts? Tom? We've got the microphone here. Tom, you have traveled a lot with Feed My Starving Children.
It's a difficult situation, obviously. And we don't bring solutions, but part of making a difference is the hope. And this congregation, in many ways, one obviously I'm most familiar with is the refugees that we feed My Starving Children. Mm-hmm. We feed about 100,000 kids a day.
That are refugees.
Refugees. Mm-hmm. In multiple countries, and we follow them around with our partners and feed this. And it's for nourishment, but it's to give them hope. Mm-hmm. And that who knows when the changes might take place. But without hope, then lasting to whenever becomes either more difficult or totally impossible. So. Mm-hmm. And we do it because of our faith, because our belief in as Christians that we should help. And that's what we do, and this church is very active with that. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Thanks, Tom. Any other thoughts today? I know, Jack Pitch, you have worked a lot with special needs children. In many ways, that becomes a justice issue when we think about the lack of resources that has been in the past and why Good Shepherd felt called to respond and to help make a difference so that better resources and better opportunities could be created for special needs. There are members of our community and families who are suffering a high rate of divorce and high rate of inactivity in any church because it was just too hard. And those are justice issues that are profound and that we can get involved in. Pastor PJ serves as a chaplain for our Naperville Police Department, and he deals with a lot of justice issues, trying to bring justice to the truth of what's going on in our community. They pray about those things, and they seek God's will in doing that. This brings up one example, but it's not the only, of justice issues. Are there other thoughts about how we might be involved in justice, knowing a particular truth in our world, our community? Any other thoughts today? Well, as we grapple with that, we pray that these words from John the Baptist would truly ring in our hearts so that tomorrow when we gather to celebrate the Christ child, we truly do it fully aware that we live in a world desperately as in need of a Savior now as then. And so we can truly celebrate that this is the one who has come to cast out sin and desires to enter in, to be born in us today. Let's let that be our prayer leading into our Christmas celebration.